Well, let's just bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we now turn to your holy word, we know that it is the inspired word of God. So open our eyes to see what you want us to see. Open our ears to hear what you want us to hear. Open our hearts to respond to your word, to the eternal good of our souls. For we ask it in our Savior's name. Amen. Throughout the world today, there are many wars, as we know, and much fighting within many countries. Much of that fighting has its roots in sectarianism. There is sectarian violence between Christians and Muslims in Nigeria. Sectarianism has been described as a characteristic feature of the Syrian civil war. The opposition is dominated by the Sunni Muslims, whereas the leading government figures are Alawites. Radical Buddhist parliamentarians in Sri Lanka are pressing once more for sectarian laws directed against Christian churches. Sectarian violence in Pakistan exists between majority Sunnis and minority Shiites. The spread of sectarianism threatens Iraq's political stability. There's political tension among Iraq's three ethnic groups. The civil war in the Lebanon was sparked by the sectarianism between the Sunnis and the Shiites. The fighting in the Gaza Strip is between the Palestinians and the Israelis. In Northern Ireland, sectarianism has existed between Catholics and Protestants. Sectarianism has been heightened on many occasions and sectarian songs sung on the football terraces. But all this is nothing new. Turn the clock back 2,000 years and you will find the Jews and the Samaritans had no dealings with one another. And the root of that trouble goes back another 1,000 years. In John chapter 4, we have the account of Jesus talking to the woman at the well. We know this story well. His disciples had gone into a nearby town to buy food. Jesus is tired and sits waiting at the well. This woman of Samaria comes to draw water, and Jesus asks her for a drink. It is like a Protestant asking a Catholic for a drink in Belfast during the time of the Troubles. She is greatly taken aback that a Jewish man should even talk to her, nevertheless ask her for a drink. Jews and Samaritans had little dealings with each other, but they certainly would have not have drank out of the same vessel. This leads to a conversation about water, and he offers to give her living water, which Jesus would give her if she asked him. But before Jesus would discuss this with her, he asked her to call her husband and in turn exposes her life, and she recognizes Jesus as a prophet, which leads to her admitting that the Messiah would come. And Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." As we look at this story, there are a number of things that we can see. First of all, we see how marvelous are the ways of Christ dealing with people. How marvelous are the ways of Christ dealing with people. We're told in verse 42 that the disciples were surprised to find him talking with a woman. That their master should take the trouble to talk to a woman at all, and to a Samaritan woman, and to a strange woman at the well, whenever he was weary and with his journey, was a very surprising thing to the disciples. It was a sort of thing which they did not expect. Perhaps we could go as far as to say it was contrary to their idea of what a religious teacher should do. And certainly a Jewish rabbi would not be doing it. The feelings displayed by the disciples on this occasion were nothing new. Whenever Jesus allowed publicans and sinners to draw near to him and to be his company, the Pharisees marveled and exclaimed, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." So Jesus met many broken people, and he still does that today. There are many broken people in our community, and they're going through the most harrowing experiences. Drugs break people. Divorce rips families apart. Murder, rape, racism, poverty, The list is endless. When Saul came back from Damascus, a converted man and a new creation, the Christians at Jerusalem were astonished. They believed not that he was a disciple. People are amazed when they see the change Christ can make in lives, and also when they see the most unlikely person meeting Christ and being converted. The disciples marveled that Jesus talked with the woman. It is an amazing thing the way that Jesus Christ can break down barriers. The Jew-Samaritan barrier was broken down here. And Jesus Christ can still break down barriers in our world and in many countries today. When people meet Christ, things happen. When families meet Christ, things happen. Old hatreds disappear, and attitudes of people change. So even today, we see how marvelous are the ways of Christ dealing with people. But then secondly, we see how mysterious is the influence of grace in the life. How mysterious is the influence of grace in the life. We are told what happened, that Christ revealed to the woman he was the Messiah. Leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" She had left her home to get water. She had carried a large jar to the well to get the water, and she returned with Naylor. But at the well, she found something she was not expecting. She found a new heart. She found the Savior. She became a new creature. All things were passed away. All things became new. And now everything else was forgotten. She could think of nothing but the truths that she had heard and the Savior that she had met. Look at the evidence. To the well comes this woman equipped with a water jar to draw water. It is possible that she draws the water and fills the water jar. And having a filled jar, a total stranger, whom she recognizes to be a Jew, and who is sitting at the well, asks for a drink. Knowing that it is not customary for Jews to use vessels together with Samaritans, she does not immediately respond to the request, but asks the stranger to explain his strange request. And so an interesting, revealing conversation develops. And Jesus offered this woman living water if only she would ask him for it. And having heard the stranger's great declaration, she rushes back to the city to tell others what she had just heard. Notice verse 28. She does not say she forgot, but it says she left. She left her water jar. The same thing could be said about others who follow Christ. Peter, James, John, Andrew left their nets to follow Jesus. When Saul was converted on the Damascus Road, he left his brilliant prospects as a Jew in order to preach the faith and the gospel that he had once despised. The conduct of this Samaritan woman was the same. For the present time, the salvation that she had found completely filled her mind. She left her water jar, the very reason why she came to the well, and she ran to tell everybody about the real water. This lady got her priorities in a rather quick hurry. And this is a true mark of a believer. We may disagree on how our faith is to be shared. However, there can be no debate on the fact that we are to share our faith. If you want to share your faith is to hand someone a gospel tract, then that is fine. If your way is to door-to-door evangelism, that is great. If your method is telephone or email or a text or tell a neighbor, then that is wonderful. Just don't ever say that that's just not my thing. If you do, you are disobeying Jesus, who said, "And ye shall be my witnesses." How often do we see a person so entirely taken up with spiritual matters that their attention of this world's affair is made a secondary matter or postponed? How happy are those who know something of the experience of this woman's feelings and can say with Paul, I count all things but nothing for the excellence of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. When Jesus Christ works in our life, the unexpectedly happen. But of this we can be sure, when a soul has had a genuine encounter with Christ, a change will take place. That life can never continue the same again. Something has happened. Something has changed in that life. That life has been changed. It has been transformed. And for anyone to say that they have an encounter with Christ and life continues as normal, then something must be wrong. For a change will take place. A new creation has been formed. How marvelous is the influence of grace in a life. This woman of Samaria was immediately aware of a change, and it wasn't long until others were aware of that change also. She goes back to the town and she says, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. And verse 39 is a tremendous verse. Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of this woman's testimony. Perhaps you're here this morning and you claim to be a Christian. Has anyone believed in Christ because of your testimony? Because of your lifestyle? Because of seeing the change in your life that has affected you and your family and how you do your work day by day? When the grace of God works in a life, there's a genuine change. Other people see it, and it causes them also to think about spiritual things. How marvelous are the ways of Christ dealing with people. How mysterious is the influence of grace in a life. Who can understand, who can explain the change that takes place in a life when that life has met with Christ? But then thirdly, how moving are the ways a truly converted person will witness. How moving are the ways a truly converted person will witness. The very day that this woman met Christ, she became a witness. She felt so deeply the amazing news that she had heard and the change that took place in her life when you received Christ that she must share it with others. She was compelled to go. And just as Andrew told his brother Peter about Jesus, and as Philip told Nathaniel that he had found the Messiah, and Saul, or Paul as he became known, immediately after he was converted, went to preach Christ. So in the same way, this Samaritan woman said, come and see Christ. Come and see Christ. As Philip did not discuss or argue with Nathaniel about the Messiah coming out of Nazareth, this woman did not enter into a discussion about Christ's claim of being the Messiah. She only said, come and see. Is this not again another example and lesson for us today? Everyone who has received the grace of God and tasted that God is good, tasted of Christ as their Savior, ought to find words to testify of Christ to others. We may not know all the questions, may not know all the answers, may not know all the Bible, but there's three words you can say. Come and see. Come and see the one who's changed my life. There are many people today who claim to be Christians, who make a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, who have brought up their children for baptism, who come to the Lord's table, yet they can't speak a word about Christ. Where is our faith if souls around us are perishing and going to a lost eternity, that Christ alone can save them and yet say nothing? Where is our love if we can see others going on the road to hell and to everlasting punishment and say nothing to them about Christ and about salvation and the one who can change and transform their lives and make them a new creature? In fact, we must examine our own faith and claim to be faith if we feel no concern about the souls of others. Do we separate ourselves from the things of this world and think about spiritual things? Do we ever witness to others and tell them that God and about Christ and about eternity, about heaven and about hell? If not, what then is the value of our faith? What is the reality of our Christianity? When the disciples returned from the village, they wanted Jesus to eat. And what was his reply? I have food to eat that you know nothing about. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Jesus counted it as his food and meat and drink to do good for others that they might experience eternal life. So let us never be ashamed of doing good for the Lord and all our heart and soul and mind and strength. Whatever your hand finds to do with the souls of others, let us do it with all our might. There is no doubt about it. It is only when Christ and Christians seek to witness for his or her master that will soon become aware how natural man is very hard and unbelieving. The laborer for Christ will find the vast majority of those whom he labors unbelieving and unresponsive. In spite of all that he or she can do, the many will not turn to Christ, but will travel on that broad road that leads to destruction. For the Bible reminds us that narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. But notice from this passage that there are many ways by which people are led to believe in Christ. We read in verse 41, because of his words, many more became believers. And then they said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. From this it is clear the way in which the Spirit leads us all, God's people, is always one and the same. But the paths by which they are brought into that road is often very different. There are some in whom the work of salvation is sudden and instantaneous. There are others in whom it goes on slowly and quietly and step by step. All are finally brought to repentance of sin and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But all do not begin with the same experience. Remember Saul? Saul had an experience on the Damascus Road that was sudden and instantaneous. Lydia, his heart was gently warmed, and slowly she came to understand and receive. However, look at what happened when this woman had an experience with Christ at the well. Let us remember the reputation that this woman had. Remember her lifestyle. Did she go to the well at this time of the day to avoid meeting all her people? You see, nobody goes in the middle of the day when the sun is hot to get water. It is always early in the morning or late at night, whenever it is cooler. Did this woman usually go at this time of day so that she would be alone? But now things are different. Her life has been changed, and she goes straight back into the village to tell others. She does not wait for a few days and a few weeks and a few years until she can sort herself out. No, she went straight back into the village to the very people who knew her to give them the good news that she had found the Christ. Something wonderful had happened to her, and she could not contain herself. She must share it with others. All she had to do, all she was able to do, was to invite the people in the village, come and see Jesus. And that is the success this woman had in this invitation. Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. We see how God can and does use the most unexpected instruments for the beginning and the carrying out of his work. You remember a little maid directed the captain of a great army to Elisha to be healed. And this woman did not know all the theological answers. She did not know what the verses of passage of Scripture to use in witnessing. She would say little about Christ, for she had just met him. But she could say something. She said, come and see. Someone who changed my life. Someone who transformed my life. No doubt many people would have flocked to see one who could tell them their future. And even today there are those who go and meet with those who can tell them their future. But here we're told that people flock to tell someone their past, to tell them their failures, to tell them their sin. When one can say little of Christ, yet if it be spoken from experience and feelings, then it can be more effective and more persuasive than many sermons from the greatest of preachers. This woman's testimony was so moving, and the change in her appearance was so obvious that many responded. Is that not a challenge for us all? Would people be convinced by our testimony of Christ? Has there been a change that others can see? Yes, let us be realistic. A true Christian is a person who can come into a living fellowship and communion with the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. So many people hope one day to reach heaven, but sad to say, they've never come to the door. Come to that door that is open. Come to that only door. Come to that door that is reachable for everyone, no matter who they are, no matter what education they have, no matter what age they are. And here is a story: we have mercy with no regard to morality. It is mercy with no regard to religion. It is mercy. It is the gift of God. It is a unique gospel. All religions say, do this, do this, do this, and God will give you this. The gospel says, whatever state you are religiously, whatever state you are morally, here is a gift. It's a gift of God. It is a gift. It is the gift of grace. It is a free gift. That is where God started with this woman. The free, unsolicited mercy being offered. Jesus said to the woman, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked of him and he would have given you living water. Ask of him. The gift is there. We need to ask. But it's sad that so few people ask for the gift of salvation. We are all sinners. There's no one righteous, no, not one. Oh yes, not many of us say we were like this woman. But all have fallen short of the standard that God required of them. Until we repent, we must face the eternal prospect of God's wrath and curse upon sin. Except ye repent, ye shall all perish. Unless we ask for the gift, we will never receive the living water. The woman at the well met the Savior, and her life was changed. I wonder, has that been your experience here today? How marvelous are the ways of Christ dealing with people. How mysterious is the influence of grace in a life. And how moving are the ways a truly converted person will witness. How does this fit into your life? Has there been an obvious change because of an encounter with Christ? Has your experience given you the urge to share it with others? Let us pray. Eternal God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that whenever this woman met Jesus, her life was changed. And we thank you that today, when men and women and boys and girls meet the Savior, their lives are also changed. And we pray that that will be the experience of each and every one here today, that will meet the Savior, who can change and transform lives and do a mighty thing to each and every one. For we ask it in our Savior's name. Amen.